Well, hey, I got priorities.
I know you do.
Dan Bird here.
Okay, we're gonna call the meeting back to order. Kathy, are you ready?
Yes.
Okay, Hubert?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I forgot to ask you that when we started the meeting, so I'm glad you're ready now, so. You guys have got to keep me on my toes, and that's all I can say.
Well, we will do that in May.
Okay, all right, now, next on the agenda, and I haven't looked, but I think that's my report from the chairman. And this must be thank you day, because one of the first things that I have on my list is thank yous, because I think sometimes we take people so for granted, and I know as commission board members, sometimes we have endless questions and need help with certain things, or don't quite understand some of the stuff that has been sent to us, and we get a lot of stuff sent to us, which is mostly very good reading, and once in a while there's something that's so technical that I really read it several times to get what I need out of it. But never mind that. I really just wanted to thank people because, for example, our executive director frequently gets asked questions on weekends and evenings. It's like she's on 24-hour-a-day call, 7 days a week, and she almost always, without exception, answers our questions immediately and thoroughly, and I really wanted her to know that, you know, we appreciate those things. Sometimes we take that for granted and we don't appreciate people. And I want to thank Kathy also, because she's always quick with things that I need answers to right away, and sometimes I'm not quite as quick because I don't get to my emails frequently as I need to. I get to it every day, but I have endless emails, so sometimes I don't get the things commission related. So I wanted her to know that we appreciate her. And in general, as we've already said, the counselors and the staff, all of the staff, we really do appreciate everything that they do for us, and there are things that they do for us individually, and we do receive reports from a lot of different people, and I won't start going through the list because I know I'd forget somebody, but we do get reports from a lot of different people, and I, for one, I'm not going to try to speak for the rest of the board, but I, for one, truly do appreciate all those things that we do get. Let's see, just a couple things I'm going to mention. One of them is that Flying Corp took several of our counselors and went over to Turkey, and I just think that's so exciting that they get to do those things and teach the people of Turkey, and they are so appreciative over there, and I'm really glad that they get a chance to do that, and the counselors from our staff volunteer to do that. And then I will mention the modules in passing, because the board made a commitment to at least start those, and I trust that they all have. And I know that Carol, she sent me a notice that she had finished, and that spurred me on to finish them also. And they're in under each section, there is a little quiz that you will participate in, and if you don't get 100%, you will go back and find the answers and do the quiz again. And it is very important.
You have to get them all right.
and it is very informative. Carol indicated that she learned a lot out of it, and I have to say, some of what was there was a few years back, Barbalos and Bob Burns and Pearl and myself went to a meeting in Kansas City. A lot of what's there was on those modules, but it's very fascinating history. It really, to me, is very fascinating how the things from the rehabilitation and how it started and how it progressed and what's included and what's not included. And then from then on, it gave you a better idea of what the different things on the for the councils and the commissions to do, and how the the general rehab boards and whatever do things sometimes differently than what we're expected to do. But it's very good reading, and it's very informative, and it's good to, right, for me, some of it was just going back and revisiting it as such. But the laws and stuff, I mean, that can be, you know, just the way laws are written are very confusing sometimes as to, how they read, and they're not as... for me, anyway, I'm not a Bob Burns lawyer type, so I, you know, it takes me a little bit to catch on to that. And this brings it down to my level, so it's easier to understand. And the quizzes, anybody that hasn't started them yet, they're not that hard to do. Generally speaking, most of it's just pure common sense. Mm-hmm. You should be able to get through them at the most. It shouldn't take you more than twice to get through the quizzes. Well, I don't profess to be all that smart. Some things take me twice through to get them right, but yeah, one or two things.
Did Carol bring her diploma, her certificate of authenticity?
I didn't bring it with me.
You didn't?
I trust her.
Oh, no, I do too. I just want to see it.
You're only able to print it out after you've done the whole thing, so.
And then you can see it, Jim.
Oh, there it is. Then you'll be able to know.
I'm just having trouble getting in. Can you repeat the website or whatever I got?
I can resend you the website, and the thing you've got to keep in mind, it'll say state and national. You go through the national.
Okay,
because you do not need a code. Once you get in there, they'll have you set up a password. Then they will send you an email so you can go straight from the email.
I keep getting a whoops. This, you cannot get on this website.
Are you trying the national, Daryl?
You need to go through the national. Say there'll be two links, a state and a national. You need to go through the national, and you don't need a code for that. With the state, you do. Okay. I don't understand.
Yeah, you might want to send that again, because I must.
Okay. I will do that.
Thank you.
I don't mind doing that. But anyway, it isn't difficult reading. If you don't know a lot about the rehabilitation center and stuff and how it starts, it's fascinating. It really is to me, anyway. And the things that were not included, and the things that are included now, and this kind of things, and how it has changed over the years. The networking group met via conference call, and we talked a lot about the various bills that are being brought up, and the stimulation bill, and how that fits into what the commission or the rehabilitation centers, how much money they will be getting or won't be getting, or that kind of thing. Let's see, and we also talked a little bit about the information that we're talking back and forth to each other, if that's if it's relative, or we can get this information, through other avenues, or, because it's generally, Virginia, Minnesota, Nebraska, Pennsylvania was there, yeah. But, I mean, it's the same general people, and I'm wondering, if it was, when we've had a broader network call in, a lot of times, not particularly me, but the other people can provide information that they didn't have, or if they have problems with, for example, if they're a separate agency like we are in Nebraska, if they, if they're trying to get it under the HHS umbrella again, and, what they might do to, or what they need to do to not let that happen. So, sometimes we can give each other information, which I think is useful, but if the same general people call in, it's not as useful. I don't know.
Nancy,
so, we'll
let me say this, and I have been remiss for not... I participated in one last February, and it may be the night of the week. It might have something to do with it, because Monday for me is not the best night of the week for anything. for reasons I won't go into. That's one of the reasons why I don't, because it's not a good night for me. And that could be why, you know, you get the same four or five, six different states that are there. I don't know if a different night of the week would help or what, you know,
well,
how to handle
Pearl,
that.
Well, I know, has sent out information asking those kinds of questions, and we haven't got a response to it. And that's, you know, where we were willing to consider, you know, and it's only one Monday night every other month.
Right.
I really feel like that's not a hard thing to, you know, keep up on. Okay. My time is up. But I am going to mention just a couple other things. I've been very impressed with, I'm going to individualize somebody out, so forgive me if this embarrasses people or not, but I think Cheryl Poff is doing an excellent job with the hand-in-hand project. I think that was an area that was needed some boost, and I'm just really excited that the deaf-blind community is getting out there and having all these various activities. I just think that's an excellent thing, because we've talked before about being housebound, and I really think it's important that, you know, that we get people out into the society. And so I wanted to thank Cheryl for doing such a good job on that. And like I've said before, all the other councils do excellent, and they do all these extra projects too. And the other thing that I wanted to comment on was a notice that we got about the Encounter video, that it's up on YouTube now. I'm not up on all these areas, but anyway, I think that's excellent too, because I think there's a lot of a lot more people are going to see it now, and I think the more that we get exposed to them, people knowing that, it's amazing to me that there are places in Nebraska that have never heard of the commission. They don't know about us. You would think that most people in the blind community do know about us, but there are people that don't. And so I think it's excellent, because that's a very excellent video. It's very good. If you haven't seen it, go to YouTube and watch it now. So,
is it audio described?
No, but I think you're not going to have a lot of trouble knowing what's going on, just from the conversation that the people are talking about. And then with that, I will stop, and we will go next to the report from the executive director.
Thank you. As always, there is much more for me to tell you than 10 minutes worth, but my full report will be with the minutes, and I'll just try to hit highlights for all of you. First, I want to tell you about the state plan for 2010. It's due July 1st, and we will, because of the timing of our board meetings, we will need to have your official approval of at least a draft of that during the May meeting, so that we'd be able to get it submitted by July 1st. With our biennium budget being due this year, we really couldn't start on the state plan until we get past the budget work. So, and the other thing this year, Kathy attended a webcast with instructions about submitting the plan this year. And this year, it will all be done electronically in this system that Rehab Services Administration has. And so therefore, this year, all of the attachments and the entire plan will have to be submitted. In most previous years, each agency does just some of the attachments. And so it'll be a much bigger project this year. What I'll try to do to make it more workable for you folks to read it is to send you sections as we work on sections and get them drafted. I'll send to you and kind of try to work through it it'll be a lot to do in the interim between now and then. So I hope that you'll kind of watch for those and get comments back to me if at all possible. Staff update, the big event is Larry Olson, who we met earlier.
Yes.
Larry is our new technology specialist. He'll be here in the Omaha office. He is in Lincoln now in training. I think when you introduced yourself, Larry, you weren't sure what to say about where you were from. Well, a little schizophrenia about that.
Yeah.
We're very happy to have you on board. Larry started December 22nd. So even more recent than the brownies were bad.
You know, not moldy yet.
Yeah. Anyway, very glad to have Larry with us. We'll be going through an open enrollment process. We usually do, that's for state employees signing up for their benefits. Since it's gone electronic, that's been a major problem with accessibility. This last fall, normally we do open enrollment in the summer or in the fall because it was on a calendar year, and it all had to be done electronic. The materials were all released and they were not accessible. The folks at Administrative Services worked with us, but it was after the fact, and so it really was a problem. This year they are switching to the state calendar or state fiscal year, which starts July 1, and so we're going through open enrollment again very soon, and we've put them on notice. You know, you've got to have everything accessible. Our folks, Nancy Kaufman in particular, but many of our folks, are very glad to work with the folks that are doing the design of the thing so that it can be accessible, but let's get this done before you go, you know, sending it out to the public, to the state employees. Mm-hmm. So we're hopeful that it is actually going to work for folks this time. The activities in the lots always going on in the center and in the field. Right now, the employment rate for people who have completed the center and are not still in some kind of training situation, 89.5% have achieved their employment goal. So we're very proud of that. Only 8.4% of the people that have been through the training center in Lincoln are not working. So that's really great. They've done a lot of different activities, the luncheon they served to the board meeting, Thanksgiving meal, holiday parties. They did a new thing, several new things this year. One was a debate, and I and another staff member were the judges.
Oh, wow.
And it really was a great opportunity, and they plan to do that again, so that each time two individual center clients will have the opportunity to research a topic, and you may know with debate you have to take, you're assigned one side or the other, and it doesn't matter what you personally think, you have to research and make your case. So it was really very interesting.
What was the topic?
The topic was whether the difference in wages between women and men was related to unfairness in the workplace versus just other factors.
Oh, okay.
So it was very interesting. They've done typical movies, dinners, things like that, a Super Bowl party. Another neat thing they did that was new is etiquette training. And Cindy provided several sessions of that, and then they're going to attend a formal banquet-style dinner in the middle of February to kind of put their what they learned into practice. So that's a good thing. And then a combination of the center and the Lincoln District is a new job experience and job training at Department of Corrections. It's a custodial position, and so of course not everybody wants custodian as their job goal, but it for those who do, it's great that way, and even for those who don't, it really helps to have some employment experience, you know, and the timesheet and timeliness and work habits and all of those things are important. So that's a new project that's benefiting folks. In the field, we've served 430 people since October. Since the beginning of October, we've had 10 successful closures and 18 unsuccessful. So I asked the field, why is unsuccessful almost double this time? It's because quite a few folks moved out of state. I don't know if the cold Nebraska winter was the... I almost did, I don't know. But then also a number of people have health issues and have decided to hold off on their training until a later time. And then others, there actually were quite a few who for a number of months, counselors have not been able to reach them, their phones are disconnected, they haven't moved to our knowledge, but we go there and we can't find them. So we do a lot of things we're not quick to close someone when we can't find them, but after a period of time, you know, we do need to do that. So that was the case with quite a few of the folks. With independent living, we served 442 people, and 70 were successfully closed, 14 were unsuccessfully closed. We've been doing case reviews around the state. The staff from many of the offices are working on another employment workshop, which will be held in Omaha. It's called Employment Exploration, Parallel Roads and Intersecting Needs. That's going to be February 24th, 25th, and 26th. There are speakers and presenters, Buna Dahal and Peter Altschul, and so they're both very good. And we have over 30 employers who have confirmed to attend the last day as an employment resource fair. So we're very excited to get that many employers involved in this. And a lot of people will be attending from all of the offices, including the training center. Staff and clients will all attend. Let's see, we've got a teen group getting started for girls in the Lincoln Public Schools with Amy Burrish. We're partnering with Senior Companion Program. We've had training in some offices on deaf blindness, brain injury, smoking cessation. We've had a number of visits and meetings with senators from around the state talking about the budget, but also a number of issues of importance to blind people. There is going to be a meeting that was actually organized by the National Federation of the Blind of Nebraska, but also the American Council of the Blind of Nebraska is spreading the word and getting the information out. It'll be here in this same room February 16th, and we'll get here at 4. I think the senators will be here from 5 to 7, but if consumers want to come a little early and talk to us about what is this all about, we can fill people more in on that. I wanted to tell you some of the jobs people have achieved this quarter. Jobs as a prep cook, metal fabricator, clerk, trailer technician for a semi-truck place, appliance specialist, home health caregiver, college chemistry instructor, food service, customer service, computer support specialist, music technology technician, machine operator supervisor, and certified nursing assistant, and it was another list, but that gives you an idea of some of the range of jobs people are getting. We did get renewed for the PILBO grant, that's providing independent living for blind Omahans. It's specifically to the Omaha area and funded by a community grant. And so that's a big help, being able to provide some of those, like this closed-circuit TV that one of the ladies mentioned this morning. Placement committee has been very involved with that employment workshop that I mentioned. Nancy already mentioned the hand-in-hand, but I do want to mention there, Cheryl's working very hard putting together a joint activity to actually walk across the, I think it's the Bob Carey Bridge that goes from Nebraska to Iowa, and she's trying to get Iowa Deafblind Organization to be involved as well. So she's got a lot of great ideas, and so that should be exciting. Let's see, Omaha, they're working with the metro area placement professionals to network with representatives of different jobs or different organizations in Omaha and Council Bluffs on job placement. I invited the new commissioner of the Department of Labor for the state of Nebraska to come and tour the center. She came, I forgot to put this one in this report, but she had a good tour. She asked a lot of great questions, and she's going to work on accessibility of some of the software people use in the one-stop centers. So it was a very fruitful experience to have her come. The folks are very active in a lot of different things. Business Enterprise, I do want to mention, we have a new vendor in Omaha that's replacing a vendor that went back to school. Zerinsky Building, the machines are doing well, and the RRS people moved back into the buildings, so that's going to be a lot better business for folks. Most of the machines that can be brailled have been, and Hardy Holm is one of the vendors that is working on brailling menu books. There are some sites where the menu books disappear, so he makes more. And then for the next 3 months, we're focusing more on the possibility of a food contract with Army National Guard in Ashland. That would be a rather large contract that we would need to work on with a vending, or they call it a partner, because it's really a big kind of an operation. We always have had a lot of vandalism with the rest areas on the interstate especially, so this year we're putting mesh front on the front of the snack machines. Hopefully that will prevent some of the damage. And new equipment in Ogallala and Sydney, possibilities maybe in Falls City. So quite a few different things being worked on. I mentioned the working with legislators. There's, of course, the budget request and older blind services is a big part of that. Also, the School Employees Retirement Act is one. There's a Brain Injury Act that we're starting to get involved with some task force to learn more about that. And also, there was one brought to my attention that would put tracking devices on all of the state vehicles, and that's fine for making sure we know where state vehicles are, but there was one part of the bill that would have all the information up on some public website for anyone to see, and I talked with the senator about that. I don't have a problem with tracking, making sure we really know where people are, but we need to protect the confidentiality of our clients. So that's a problem. He said that he thinks that almost certainly will just die. For one thing, it's very expensive. So whether you like the thing or not, it's going to cost too much in the current budget. But we're tracking that. We're trying to make sure we know what's going on with that. And let's see. So in this last quarter is the period of time where we complete most of our federal reports. The federal year ends September 30th, but most of the reports are due the end of December, so we've been very busy with all of that, and state reports, and annual report to the governor, and all of those things. This past year, Voc Rehab and we partnered together to bring Erin Riley into the state. I don't know if you remember hearing about that, but she has come up with very, very creative ways for hospitals to employ people with significant disabilities in quite unique ways and very creative. So we partnered to do this workshop where hospital people from around the state, as well as Voc Rehab staff and our staff, and I don't remember if there were other agencies represented, but very, very good training. Well, Erin Riley is coming back to Nebraska later this month to maybe even next week, going around the state to the hospitals to consult and give information. Voc Rehab is doing most of the work and planning on that, but our staff, as they go to each area, someone from our staff will also attend to make sure that the hospitals remember blind people are good employees too. It's not just the other disabilities. So that's a good opportunity. We've been working a huge amount of effort on eForce, which is the new, it's a caseload or case management tracking system that will make all of the work, or the documentation type of work that we do with clients, will be electronic. It'll all be accessible, and it's quite an involved system. And I have a timeline that will be part of my report that's about 3 pages long, so I won't go into that unless you have specific questions. But it's really going to be an excellent system for us. We do plan to go live with the thing in April. We have a number of training events that are happening between now and then. But at our state staff meeting in April, we will do kind of the kickoff for eForce. Let's see. Take a breath. The state has decided that, in its wisdom, we need a new inventory process. There's a dollar amount of for equipment that has to all be in inventory, and Kathy's responsible every August for kind of finalizing that and getting the report in. Well, now they're having us use scanners and barcodes. And so, of course, that means learning the scanners, going around and all the equipment that we do have, getting the barcodes on them, doing the scanning, and getting it into the system. So that's in the works. Our agency has converted to a paperless payroll system. And, of course, there's always snags when you start these things, but always before, and I just have a couple more things, but okay. Even, you know, as focused as we are on things being accessible, we've used a paper form that the blind staff have had to keep their own records and then take the form to a reader or a secretary and go through the, okay, Monday I did this and that. Well, now it's a spreadsheet. It's all, it's not that difficult. There have been a few snags. Kathy's given some training, and it's really going to make our whole system much better. So I'm very pleased that that's working out. We are, again, I don't know if you remember last year, I asked if you would all support the commission working together to sponsor a legislative breakfast for senators with some other commissions. You all supported it then, and it went well, and so we are going to do that again. This year there are just 4 commissions. It's us, the Commission on Indian Affairs, Mexican American Commission, and Serve Nebraska Commission, which is about volunteer work. And the governor's wife and the lieutenant governor are the key people for that. So that's, I think, a good move to be connected with that. And that'll be March 24th, and we'll get more information to you on that later. Kathy's doing the planning work with that. And then also with Voc Rehab, we've had a longstanding memorandum of understanding about how the two agencies can work together to serve people with multiple disabilities in Nebraska. And we're revising that, we're reviewing it, and we'll be providing training to our staff and Voc Rehab staff statewide at some point in the next year. And then finally, Deanna has been working on a lot of things, but one thing I wanted to mention was the American Foundation for the Blind has a senior site, and I'd encourage you to check that out if you haven't. Each month, they have an agency of the month that's highlighted and lots of things that can be done with that. March, we are the agency of the month of that, and so it's a good opportunity to highlight the good work that's done here in Nebraska, but also any of you who would, if you would send in questions for, and I will say that a lot of the information on there is geared to low vision and using contrast and, you know, geared to low vision alternatives rather than non-visual alternatives. So we're hoping that some folks will send questions to help us actually put information out to whoever goes to that website to learn more of the non-visual techniques for folks. And so that is basically it. Thank you very much.
Okay, I have a couple of questions. See that that AFB website, we just go over to the AFB website and then there'll be a senior link or something?
Yes. Okay. And I can, in the minutes, Kathy, why don't we put the actual link that goes right to the senior site?
Oh, that would be good.
It's easy to find at the AFB org website, but you might as well have the official one.
Okay, that sounds good. The other thing is the legislative breakfast thing.
Yes.
Do we need a rep from the board?
I really didn't think so. Of course, you can tell me if I'm wrong. Last year was the first time we actually had done that in an active way. That is, we helped with the funding and the planning. I always attend as often as I can the legislative events that are put on by other groups, usually the Federation and the Council. But this was the first time we had been asked to actually be part of it. And I felt like since it was very well supported and turned out well last time that it was okay to go ahead.
Yeah, I do. I thought it was a good idea last year and I still think it is. I don't hear any dissent from my board members here, so I think that's good. Okay. I had forgotten. I remember now that you say about that us being featured in March. I remember Deanna saying that.
Yes.
I'm glad to be reminded because I will go check that out. Okay, are there questions for the executive director from anybody? Okay, then we will go to public comment time. So,
okay
guys, if you have questions of us, anything to do with my report or Pearl's or anything else, please feel free.
I got a question.
Okay, just tell me your name.
Mark Bulger.
Can you hang on one second,
sure.
Mark? I need to get up.
See, that's part of the state fitness program.
Well, first, thank you, Dr. Van Zandt, as always, for your fine service. Given the state of the economy right now, has the governor or the state given any indication that the current budget for the Commission of the Blind, is there any cutbacks in the foreseeable future? And then secondly, as consumers of the blind, is there anything we can do to aid in that process to make sure that we continue to get the funding that we need to support, like the group that was just here? I thought that was an outstanding presentation. So, thank you.
Thank you. May I go ahead and
sure,
get that?
Please
okay.
Do.
Well, the next agenda item is budget, so we'll go into, but I will answer your question. Governor's budget did come out, I have it with me, and basically he has put our agency in at level funding, below what we requested, the same level as what we have for the current year. And for the second year of the biennium, 2010 and 11, he kept it at the same 09 level as well. So, of course, level funding means less because everything goes up. I'll go into more detail. Part of the work that we're doing with educating senators is our basic request was pretty much level. I mean, it included some. We always have increases in rent, for example, and so. It's pretty much what we need. But then the only really above that we're asking for is specific to the Senior Blind Project, which I will wait and talk more about later. And so that was just completely left out of the governor's original draft. Mm-hmm. Of course, it always goes through a process, and the Appropriations Committee hearing will be coming up. What can people do? Definitely communicate with your own senator, regardless of what committee that person is on. If you're inclined, we'd love to have you come to the event I mentioned that'll be February 16th right here, that people can... There's two senators, I don't think I said who was coming, Mello and Nordquist, who are both Omaha area, and who are both on the Appropriations Committee. And so communicating to them, the biggest thing that we're telling people is that our goal, our services, for one thing, they're short-lived. We might work with older blind for maybe a year, maybe 18 months, but that work is going to keep them from having to move into a nursing home for maybe a decade. And so, and even for 1 month, it's up to $60,000 to be in a nursing home, you know. And so we're working out comparisons to try to demonstrate, and ours is not ongoing. And so there's lots of things we really need to communicate to the senators. So that's the main thing. And I don't know if there was another part of your question I didn't get to.
No, I just, okay. Regarding the funding for the group that was in here, would that have come out of the senior funding? You have a limited budget right now.
Right. We have a limited state, well, it's the Older Blind Project from the federal government, which only requires 10% match. So the money that the state has to put into that is minimal, $25,000, I think, for a whole year. Last biennium, and again, it is in the governor's budget. They've added $75,000 a year for us to have the Senior Blind Project Coordinator and so on. And that is in the new budget. But it's, it really doesn't provide the statewide to the individual Bettys and Elaines and Naomis. Bob?
I just wanted to add too that part of Bobby, part of a big part of what we want to do with the expanded funding for older blind services is to make it possible for staff to focus more on specific services that they provide, like the counselors that are involved with SAIL here are also involved with VR clients, you know, and I think. That's just it. Staff wear a number of hats, and it would be very nice if we had staff that were dedicated to working with the older blind program. Other staff who are dedicated to more working more with people who have vocational rehab goals. You know, so they can be more concentrated and more efficient, frankly, in what they do. we would like to expand our staff. We're asking for enough funding this time around so that we can hire one additional staff in each of the districts that would be strictly older blind. With that kind of increase in funding and staff, we would be able to do more programs like State Sale.
Okay, thank you.
And I think one of Mark's question also was, what can we do to help?
Right, and that's where I was talking about, do communicate with your local senator and also with the governor if you want to, and attending meetings if there are some. But then I didn't finish with the budget hearing, if you can come or send testimony. And I had at least one senator tell me, we really do like the written testimony from around the state. So, feel free to do that.
Pearl, I'm going to go ahead.
You want to say that? Can you have more details about February 16th? What time?
Oh, yeah. More details about February 16th.
I'm going to email that out this weekend, Crystal.
It is here, and I might have said that at the beginning. Okay. So, for those who didn't hear this, in this room, from 5 to 7, February 16th, it's a Monday, the senators will be here. We'll be here at 4. And if consumers want to come and learn more about some of these details of the budget of what we're talking about, and, you'd be welcome to do that. Senators Nordquist and Mello, who are both from the Omaha area and who are on the Appropriations Committee, then that's who will be here. It was originally organized by NFBN, and then ACBN is getting involved with spreading the word and having representatives here. And so, it's really something Bob Deaton and I will be here representing the commission. So I encourage folks to come there, too.
Yeah, it would be great if you could have a pretty good turnout because I think they get impressed by that kind of thing.
I'm going to make a quick comment, and I'm going to try to phrase it delicately. First of all, Crystal, I was going to send an email out to the ACB folks this weekend letting them know about that. Pearl had called me Wednesday evening and suggested that I let folks know about it along to ACB, which I intend on doing, and that's fine. And I applaud, it isn't, I applaud NFB for doing that. It's an important issue. My concern, however, is that, and I'm trying to figure out how to phrase it, my concern is, I guess, the spirit of cooperativeness and working together. A couple of years ago, when Amy gave birth to her son, I had suggested to her in a 2-page letter that, we put whatever aside and work together on some legislative issues and so on and so forth and that. And as I say, I applaud NFB for doing it, but I would suggest, and Carol, you represent NFB, and that's great, I would suggest that that when NFB wants to do something of this importance, that whenever possible, since NFB has, takes a leadership role in this, that whenever possible, consult with ACB, and of course ACB can do the same thing. It's not just a one-way street. My reason for saying that is our strength in numbers. If you have two groups who are united on an issue, it might help ram it through the UNICAM and get it passed, get it done. So while I applaud NFB for doing that, I think there's strength in numbers and we can all work together to improve not only the funding for the commission, but whatever needs to happen within the state. So, that's all I've got.
Okay, are there other comments from the public?
Maybe. This is Hubert. So, a question on...
Okay, Hubert.
The use of cars, does the commission have to pay rent the cars and pay for the gas, eventually? Or is that
Why don't you wait till that beep stops? My brain was, it just couldn't.
Okay, use of the cars. The commission rents the cars, is that correct?
State cars?
State cars.
Oh, yes.
And then the gasoline, so if, as the gas price goes higher, the commission's paying more for that and then has less for other functions then?
That's right.
So that'd be something to make a note of in talks with senators that, because the increased cost of the gas, that to try to keep services where there are, if they can try to adjust the budget for the commission to allow for more of that expense.
Yeah, that's a good point. Of course, right now, gas is actually a little less, but that's less from the way up. I mean, it's still more expensive than it used to be. That's a crucial element of our services, which are very different from most state agencies. We go to people's homes. Most people, when they, especially when they're first losing vision, they are where they can't drive anymore, but they haven't developed networks or ways to feel comfortable about asking for drivers, or they don't really know how to pay drivers, and they don't, you know, it's a whole new world. So, and a lot of folks don't have the confidence to go out and be in the public and do things. So there is a lot of isolation. So our folks being able to travel the state, go to your home, go to your office, you know, it is very important. So you're right. That's something we have tried to keep, you know, very active and stable with our work, that we haven't pulled back on that. One year we were doing some brainstorming in state staff meeting, and someone said, sleep in cars. That's what we were going to say. So we never went quite that far. But yes, Hubert, that is a real factor in our budget.
That'd be kind of difficult to sleep in a car.
No. But she would say, instead of lodging, you know, we'll just sleep in our
car. Oh.
Just kidding. But anyway, so.
What are you going to do if you got to go to the toilet? You know, that's.
So, yeah, I mean, there are things like that are really important parts of how we do business.
Yep. Yeah, that's absolutely correct.
Nancy, yes, one more public comment.
Okay,
Joe?
Yeah, I don't like to disclude people. So who is it? Joe,
I want to comment again. Oh, once people can learn cane travel, then they can, you know, use the Mobi or the cabs or transportation. They don't have to feel so bad about being stuck at home. But the most important thing, I think, for anybody to learn is cane travel.
Thank you, Joe. Right. That is right.
Yep, absolutely. And I think, too, the more you get out in public, the more you learn about things, that, the different ways that you can do things. Public comment time is over, but is there another comment?
I have a quick one.
Okay, Bob.
I really appreciate your recognition of Hand in Hand, the group that Cheryl Poff works with. Mm-hmm. I just want to say that that is an extraordinary program. It's also unique in that I believe it's the only support group of deafblind people in the Midwest currently. So.
Wow, I didn't know that. Now I'm really impressed. But I just, you know, I've been on the board a little while, and I realize that that's been a huge effort just lately to get this back going, and I really, really do think that's a wonderful thing, because I think too many people are isolated and at home, and that's part of what the commission is about, is getting blind people and blind deaf people out there. You know, out there and living life to the fullest.
That's, and that is a big emphasis. It's different from other peer groups in that the biggest thing that is promoted for the people that belong to that is community usage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whereas a lot of support groups will meet at a certain place at a certain time. And they'll discuss various things. This group, it's more important that they get up, go places, and be active.
You're absolutely right. It is. They do go do things, and you're right. A lot of other support groups, same place, same time. But, you know, I think even that group
you know, after a fashion, is going to get to that level too, because they're going to feel more free to be out there in the public. And, you know, at least that's my hope. I really, really do hope that. But I just think it's a fantastic program, and I'm glad that the commission is involved, and especially Cheryl Pop.
Yeah.
Okay, so if there's no more comments, any more comments? I'm hearing rumblings out there. Okay, we will move on to old business, and as Pearl alluded to, the next subject is budget update.
Yes, ma'am. We did, thanks to a well-timed question from the public, we got some of this done already, so okay, we don't have to panic quite as badly on the time frame. I do want to let you know that the total legislative bill, if you ever want to look at the whole thing, is LB 315. I don't know how accessible when you go to the legislative website and search for bills, I don't know how accessible all that is, but it is LB 315. We requested $1.2 million, just a little over that, for the next state fiscal year. That includes $235,252 for the Senior Blind Project from the state, what they call general funds. And we've requested $1.737 million for 2011, which is, I think Bob mentioned we want to first year hire three extra people to work only with senior blind, and then the second year we would increase that in each district. Well, three counselors, and we also have in this budget a program specialist in technology, so we would be able to beef up the amount of tech support we have for older blind. The current year's appropriation from state is $969,684, and in the LB 315, the general fund amount for both years is that same exact amount, $969,684. And then we're estimating we'll receive $3.3 million each year from the federal government, the vocational rehabilitation funds. You know, with the economy, we'll see what happens. We do have four senators, and part of what we're working on to present maybe next week, and then also to Appropriations Committee, is the comparison I mentioned to refer to a little bit earlier. But we included a number of services that are from, you know, the Medicaid waiver, things that would keep a person in their own home, and our services. And with all of that together, it's just under $11,000 for a person. And this was based on a specific person with a number of health issues. So just under $11,000. If they were in a nursing home, the very lowest would be $33,000, and almost always that's Medicaid money. That's not, you know, not too many people manage that without Medicaid. The high end is $60,000 for the year. So even at that, even if our services continued, it's a lot less. But the truth is, most of the time, our services are short-term, and it's not even like the the agencies on aging, which continue with supportive chore service and different things. But our training, it's training. We go in, we work with them, and then they're pretty much able to manage effectively over the course of their life, which can be another 20 years, whereas if they go into a nursing home, that'll be $60,000 every year for those 20 years. So that's one of the big points we're really trying to get across to the folks. Those are the main things I can think of. I'd be glad to answer Any questions from the commission or?
Yeah, how do you go about getting this Medicaid waiver funding?
Well, applying for Medicaid waiver funds, it typically is not money to the individual, but it's support services. What I know is that you would contact the area agency in aging, like the ANOA office here in, and rather than go into any details about it, they would be the ones that could really answer what you might be eligible for.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, commissioners, do you have any?
Yes, I have a question, and I know there's no guarantees in life, but the media makes so much of it. I know people get freaked out and things. What is the possibility of a situation like California, where they actually shut down, where the state is so in debt? And I know we have to be in the black on our budgets and so forth with the state, according to the Constitution. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think we're in any imminent danger like that in the next several years, are we?
Right. We got a document from the governor at one point, we state agency directors, mm-hmm. that told about all of the states and what their situation was. Mm-hmm. And you're right, most states right now are in really dire circumstances. Nebraska is one of the best right now because they have been, the policymakers in the past 5 years have really been cautious, conservative. We've had some cuts, but we've also had some years of excess, and they've still been conservative in budgeting things, which has actually worked to the advantage of Nebraskans, because rather than being on a roller coaster of money and then zero money, mm-hmm. It's more flat. Now the revenues, the state revenues, have been less than were projected. Mm-hmm. So it's not like we're, just rolling in the dough here, right. But we're better off because we have some surplus, mm-hmm. but also we need to continue, and this is the governor, his big message to us now is that we need to continue with that very conservative approach in funding things in order to ride out this, because nobody really knows how long this recession may last. So that's what I hear. And actually, Darryl, that really ties back to our message, is that we can, there's two huge things that are taking state budget. One is education, and the other is Medicaid. Mm-hmm. And especially, we are in the era now where the baby boomers are going into those years where their retirement years and likely to have vision loss and have all kinds of other health issues. So if on the vision end of things, if we can help keep people independent in their homes, mm-hmm. it really will save the state funds, sure. that otherwise they'd have to pay. Mm-hmm. So it looks like we're asking for more, but actually if you look at even the, 245,000 that we're requesting for that first year, just one person being kept out of a nursing home for even only 4 years, and you've made up, or four people that we keep out of the nursing home for only 1 year, you made up your money. So that's what we're trying to educate folks about.
An excellent idea too.
Yeah,
because it isn't just we're saying things that aren't true. These are absolutely the way it is. And I mean, a lot of people go into nursing homes that don't really need to go there.
Especially blind.
Yes.
Blindness is something that
everybody's afraid of that.
You know, lots of situations where the person in the family think we can't leave mom at home because she's going to burn the house down or fall, and so it's a problem.
Yep, it is a problem. Any other questions? Okay, hearing none, we'll go on to NIS, I think, is the next one.
Okay.
NIS update.
Yes, NIS is next. not much to update there. The biggest problems people have in terms of accessibility really goes more to usage, because people who use NIS visually, if they only do it once a month or once every 6 months, have, or once a year with open enrollment, often have just as much trouble with NIS as, or almost as much as the those using JAWS. The Office of the Chief Information Officer Office, CIO, does have a working relationship with a college student who is blind, uses JAWS, very adept, and he's doing the kinds of testing and things that Wes Majerus used to do. I checked with folks prior to this meeting to see if they're, you know, how things are going. Really, I would say the biggest difficulty we have is that the average person doesn't use the NIS system very often. So, like, I checked in with Bob. Had he done any approvals in recent months? No, because most of the approvals can be done by the supervisor level, or, you know. So there aren't a lot of things that come to the person. Now, if we had a blind director of the agency, or a blind personnel officer, or a business manager, that would be entirely different. They use it every day. Well, the latter two use it every day. I use it maybe once a week. So, you know, but I do believe that the folks working on it, and with the gentleman that's helping really on an ongoing basis assess the accessibility, I think that it's working pretty well. And we keep on top of it, and we try to, I know they have new versions installed periodically, and then that's always makes us nervous. Are they gonna remember, here, not the state people, but the programmers that the state buys the thing from. You know, typically in the past, something would get fixed with Wes's suggestions, and then they'd have a new version, and that would drop off. So that's been a constant education process, and we just keep at it. We're hopeful that they're kind of getting it now.
Yeah.
But we keep making sure.
Yeah, I think what you said before was that, you know, it's the fact that you don't use it as, you know, as much. Some of the people, you know, and then it's like learning it all over again, plus the new stuff about it. Yeah.
Right. Now, let me be clear, though. There were definitely things, and probably still are, that actually don't work with JAWS. So I shouldn't mislead anybody. that we would find that, and even Wes, he came in several times before he left Nebraska and worked with us and looked, and then he would show us how you'd get to a certain point and JAWS would be saying only one something, and there would be a menu actually that dropped down and JAWS wouldn't acknowledge it at all. There seemed to be no way to get there from here. So there definitely were things and continue to be things that we just have to keep at it.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's NIS. I don't, Bob, do you have, or anybody else have any other comments about NIS?
Never use it.
And that's the case with a lot of the employees. Now, open enrollment is in NIS also. Usually when we talk about NIS, we're talking mostly about authorizations and approving authorizations and the business end of things. But when it comes to that once a year open enrollment, now that it's all in NIS, that's a big deal. And yeah, it's got to be accessible to folks.
Is this put out by a company?
Yes, and the state purchases it from PeopleSoft, and I'm not sure if that's the old name or the new name. I know the name changed the company, so I'm not sure.
I was always under the impression under ADA, and maybe
yeah,
I'm wrong,
no,
that these companies have to make this stuff accessible. Why has nobody in the 50 states held their feet to the fire on these things?
And a couple of things. First of all, in some, there have been some states where people have held the state's feet to the fire, and there have been consumer organizations who mm-hmm. have sued states because of such things. But also, even with this one, as mm-hmm. difficult as it is in the actual using, the state went through all the correct steps. And I mm-hmm. was at meetings at the very beginning
right.
of even developing mm-hmm. the call for proposals. There was language in there, you know, I mean, from the get-go, it addressed accessibility in the when they looked at the different proposals, mm-hmm. they were in there. A lot of things actually will pass ADA requirements, mm-hmm. but when you really get into, can a person who is blind actually use this thing, it doesn't go to that level. You know, does JAWS mm-hmm. talk when you open the thing up? Sure. Welcome to the NIS logon. You know, so
it's accessible right there.
Kind of,
there you go.
I'm simplifying it there,
right.
but
no.
The state, you know, they paid attention to the law
right
at every stage.
No, and I appreciate that because we're trying a new. The OPS is going to a totally new system and record keeping, and I know. And that's a way I need to express it to them in that way, that because there's always things that can come up, and it's going to be a nightmare for sighted users.
Same,
I can't imagine for
mm-hmm. That's the same kind of thing.
Okay. Any other comment on this? Okay, we're going to go to NFB Newsline, and I'm not sure if Jamie got the report out or not.
I didn't see it in my inbox when I scanned my 980 email.
Okay, I did. I talked to her in person. And I know she's been a very busy lady out of town and stuff for things. And I did remind her on Wednesday before I left on Thursday morning that we needed a report. So I will try to jog her memory again, and we will get it, make sure that everybody gets it, and Kathy can add the whole thing to the minutes. I guess that's what we'll do.
I do.
Can we please hold the feet to the fire on this one too?
I don't have it.
Okay.
We should have these every 3 months.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We need to hold the feet to the fire on that one.
Okay. Well, I reminded her twice.
I do know that from working with Jason that Jamie's computer was mm-hmm. bit by a virus.
Uh-oh.
So that may be part of the holdup.
Okay.
Ooh,
okay.
Bummer.
You know, it really, I have to stand up for Jamie. She really has had, you know, when I have reminded, she usually responds in one way, mm-hmm. and she didn't, and that struck me as mm-hmm. different, too, because she usually says, I'm sorry I didn't get to it yet, or I'll get it out as soon as I can, something to that knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we do need these reports because it's part of the commission and what we support. So,
or at least let us know that she's unable to get this at this
right,
point.
Right,
right. You know,
so
I understand that.
But I will, you know, try to contact her again.
Let me ask you this. I know that we're going to have it a part of the minutes, and that's fine. And she's going to also provide us one in May, assuming she gets her computer fixed. Is it possible to, even though this is going to be a part of the minutes, this report, is it possible to have both read in May to make it part of the public
sure.
record?
I don't have a problem. Did anybody else have a problem with that?
The meeting minutes are public record.
This is true. They will, if they're part of the minutes, the minutes are part of what anybody can look at.
Well, but there are some that may choose to listen to the recording and not read the minutes.
But it's still, if that's true, that's their choice. They're still available. They're still there. It isn't like we're withholding them from them and saying, oh, we're putting this in a different place so you can't get to it, because that's not true. And we're discussing it right now, so they will know that it will be a part of the written minutes, so they can go to the end of the minutes and find it and read through it. I don't personally have a problem with both being read. They're not that lengthy. I don't have a problem with them being read. I'm not sure I think it's necessary, but I don't have a problem with it. Julie, do you disagree?
It doesn't make any difference.
No,
okay, all right. All right, if you so wish, Jim, we will read both of them next meeting.
All right.
And we do appreciate having a newsline coordinator. I do appreciate everything Jamie has done.
But I agree with you, Dale. We need to hold it accountable. You're right.
But like I said, she has been, she has submitted a report every, you know, I have made a commitment to jog her memory, because she lives in, and that's sometimes is a very long way to come to meetings. When you have to fund your own way there.
Oh, yeah.
And so I feel like, you know, this part of my job to jog her memory, and I've done that, and every time I have, other than this time, she has responded that, yes, she will do that, or a reason why she is unable to do that at the very moment, but she will as soon as she can. So I really don't feel like that Jamie has done a bad job.
No.
I really don't. But anyway, okay, on to...
I have another question. How quickly, or how far in advance of the meeting do you remind her?
I usually try to remind her 2 weeks ahead of time.
Okay, that should be enough time.
And when I don't, if I don't receive it by, you know, I have to tell you, this time I didn't get to it as quickly as a week ahead of time, but usually if I have not heard, which that does not usually happen, I try to jog her memory, but this time it got to be... the day before I left town, which was Wednesday, and so
that's fine. I mean,
okay.
I know in 28 years of teaching, I still need those little reminders and pushes from
my
coaches.
Well, I obviously do too, because Dale had to remind me to let everybody tell them who we all have here and this sort of thing.
That's good.
Anyway, the next thing on the agenda. Let's see, where are we for time?
It's the CAP report.
Okay, where are we for time here?
The wall says 10 till.
10 till. Can we get through client assistant program?
Yes.
Okay, let's do client assistant, and then I think we will stop and do lunch, and we will put the staff survey stuff on the afternoon part of the agenda, if that's agreeable to everybody.
That's fine with me.
Yep.
I can feel Jim fainting here.
No, that's going to take a while, the staff surveys anyway. So.
Okay.
So,
Okay, so
the client assistance or CAP program, there's just one complaint that they received this past quarter. It was about an individual who was denied funding to take the LSAT. That's the, I think maybe Hubert's closing the door, thank you. The admissions test for law school, the person took it once and failed, had to take a second time. And, well, you don't really fail it, but you have to
score high enough.
So you failed.
So he or she, I'm not sure, did take it again, and the counselor denied funding for the test fee, citing the policy that really is our education policy, that if you need to retake a class because you fail, we won't pay a second time. Well, the policy is about classes, not fees for a test, and the fees for a test should be based on an individualized case-by-case basis. And so there were some personal issues, that needed to be dealt with, and really, the error was that the counselor wasn't working with the client on those things and making sure they knew, you know, what all was involved, but rather just gave the reason as a simple thing that really did not apply. So it had already been past when the person paid their own fee, but we will, we either already have or we will be reimbursing for the fee. And in case review, it was discussed, and also the counselor is going to follow up to make sure they know the other things involved, because even an 100% score doesn't get you in. You have to have community involvement and civic, I don't know, there's a number of things. So that will need to be worked on. We need to make sure our counselors are looking at the whole person and not just, you know, a particular class or a fee or a test.
Okay. That sounds reasonable to me. Do you have any questions, commissioners?
No.
Okay. I think that was straightforward and understandable. So
right.
I think we will, if they're ready out there, we will adjourn for lunch.
They might need a couple minutes.
A couple of minutes?
Like two, three, at most.
Okay. Okay. Well, okay. By the time people get there and stuff.
Let's see. How about in heaven there is no beer if you want a song? I can break out. There you go.
I think we'll just go ahead and people need to go to the restrooms and whatever, you know, whatever you need to do. We'll just go ahead and take the break right now and reconvene at
half an hour from now, whatever you're
okay, yeah, half an hour from now. About